Where and when do our children learn to love? Seemed to me at the time that was a good sermon topic. Like all good sermons, it occurs to me that I need to answer a few questions during the sermon, give myself some structure. The first is, what exactly am I talking about here? What is this thing called love? There's a song that is like this. And two, why should you care? And three, why should you pay any attention to my opinion on the subject? I thought I'd get a laugh there. Those seem to me to be pretty good questions to keep in mind as I write any sermon. One, exactly what am I talking about here? Two, why should you care? And three, why should you pay attention to my opinions on the subject? Let me tackle the last question first. Why should you pay any attention to my opinion? I'm not a child psychologist. I don't claim to have expertise in the area, and to be honest, I'm not even particularly well read on the subject. I am a parent, not yet a grandparent. So I lack some of the perspective that that brings to the picture that others here could teach me. I do, however, consider myself a keen observer of the human condition. I'm an ordained minister in a church that was founded on the principle that God is synonymous with love. And there's good reason to believe that love is what has kept the human species from extinction, and that love is the best hope for us in the future. And lastly, while still trying to sound humble, I'd like to say that I try to practice what I preach in this regard. And I feel like I've done that through my life in a wide variety of circumstances. And again, not necessarily humbly, I remain among the happiest people that I know. So investing 15 minutes of your time here might not be a complete waste. Now the first of my questions, what exactly am I talking about here? The word love can cover a broad range of emotions and behaviors. The ancient Greek philosophers identified at least 6 different types of love, and each one of these had subcategories. They covered the spectrum from eros, erotic love, to philousia, the love of self. A simpler analysis, I think, gives 2 categories of love, and that's a place to start. The first category of love sees love as an abstract noun encapsulating our emotions, our attachments, our tenderness. Love in this context is an instinct, and it's somewhat beyond our control. But the second category of love identifies love as a verb, a concrete action, such as giving affection, expressing tenderness, concern, and care. Or as in my working definition adopted from the psychiatrist and writer Scott Peck, love is an act of human will. It's the will to extend yourself for your own spiritual growth and for that of other human beings. But it's not a thing we do grudgingly, the thing we do out of joy, the thing that brings us joy. The announcement this morning about the effort we're being asked to make our politicians take action to bring the refugees into the country that are desperately needing to get here is an act of love. So it's this sense of love that I'm addressing here this morning. Love as an act of human will that's within our control to exercise or not. So the second question, why should you care? Why should you care when or where our children learn about this kind of love? Love has been and likely always will be essential to the survival of the human species. We couldn't survive as solitary creatures. We evolved in complex societies where success of the species depended on our interdependence. It's most dramatically evident in the love expressed for our children. Our offspring are dependent on our love and support of their parents, for an inordinately long time. And the future of the species appears to me to be contingent on our ability to rein in our destructive instincts, our selfishness, our greed, living instead with an ethos of sustainability and interdependence. There are some things in life that are so frustrating, things that seem completely obvious, and yet their application seems completely beyond our grasp as a society. You don't have to be a child psychologist to realize that the behavior of the adult human being is shaped most critically in the first 5 years of life. If a child doesn't learn to love and to trust the concept of love by something around the age of five, then a pattern is set that is potentially very destructive and very difficult, but not impossible, to overcome. We know this intellectually. Each one of us knows this. Every news story that we see of a shooting or someone gone terribly wrong so often traces back to a childhood trauma. And yet here in Nova Scotia in 2015, happened to be the most recent report that I could put my hands on, over 25% of our young children are being raised in economic poverty, a condition that makes it difficult to learn to trust and love. Where and how do our children learn to love? We had a couple of examples this morning. As you would expect, a lot of us learn to love from our mothers and from our fathers. More generally, they learn to love like they learn virtually everything else, by observing the adults around them. They observe what we say and they observe what we do. And when there's a big difference between what we say and what we do, there's confusion and there's a developmental setback. I learned to love the way I've been talking about this morning from my parents, and in truth, largely from my father. Without really intending to get into the discussion, I actually had a discussion with someone just on the street here on Saturday about the question of love and where we learn to love. And this person had a story very similar to my own. See, my father never talked about love. I don't believe he ever consciously tried to teach me about love. But I watched him, as a young boy will. I watched him go out of his way again and again to extend himself to help other people. And he did so with joy. And he did so without any grudging. My father had two brothers, one of whom died before I was born, and the other was in very poor health with diabetes when I was young. He had seven sisters who looked up to him for leadership. And I watched the way he helped his sisters and his brother. And he took care of his mother and his father as they aged, always without complaint, always with a sense of joy. I watched him doing things as simple as going out of his way to give someone a ride home, and then waiting by the curb until that person was safely into the house. Things as simple as offering his skills to fix or repair something for somebody who couldn't afford to hire a tradesman. Things as simple as never speaking down to anyone, or never criticizing or judging another person, at least not in my presence, for their mistakes or their shortcomings. And things as simple as avoiding destructive arguments and competition. And being willing to look foolish, if that would help the other person feel more relaxed. It wasn't about protecting his ego. And this sense of love for the other extended beyond his human interactions, as you would probably expect, into a deep and passionate love for all animals and for the natural world. My dad was definitely not a saint, but he was not that unusual. When I have conversations with others, like I did on Saturday, about where they learn to love, it is most often from their parents, and it most often leads to stories of simple compassion and selflessness. So I don't think there's anything I've said so far that would be considered controversial. Maybe nothing in this whole sermon will be controversial. Doesn't mean it's not worth thinking about. We all want our children and our young relatives to learn to love. And we're all doing our best, the best that we can within our own families for our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews. But I want to turn the focus this morning to our religious community, appropriately, our Universalist Unitarian Church of Halifax. This is certainly a place where our children can learn to love in the ways that I've described. But could we be doing better for the children of this congregation? Do we have the will to extend ourselves for the spiritual growth of our children, who should be an integral part of the congregation? The answer is yes. I mean, I was attracted to serve this congregation 6 years ago, partly because you as a congregation had made the commitment to hire a part-time director of religious exploration for the children in this congregation. And you stayed with that decision through changes in the director of religious exploration. You recognize that as a congregation, our best chance to have a positive impact on the future is to teach our children to love in the ways that I've been describing. And there are a few people within this congregation that deserve our immense gratitude, who have gone above and beyond anything that could be asked of them to keep our religious exploration program vital and interesting and formative for our children. But can we do more? Can we extend ourselves even whenever our children are present to nurture their self-confidence, their sense of self-worth? Can we extend ourselves to be the role model that our children need? During the February 4th service, the first in this series on interdependence, we sang a hymn by Shelley Jackson Denham entitled "When I Am Frightened." I mentioned then that the original title of that piece was "Will You Show Me?" It was commissioned by UU congregation in Texas with the goal of speaking to the role that we as adults have in teaching our children and our congregations through our example. When I am angry, will you embrace me? When I am thoughtless, will you understand? Will you believe in me, stand by me willingly? Will you share some of your questions with me? If you will show me acceptance, then I may learn to love as you do. Then I may learn to give. As I end this sermon, I invite you to sing those words with me once again. And I invite you to find new ways to interact with our children here at UUCH and to show them your love.